Translation. Oh, best of the Brahmanas. With, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Oh, best of the Brahmanas, without saintly persons for whom I am the only destination, I do not desire to enjoy my transcendental bliss and my supreme opulences. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is self-sufficient. But, there's always a but. But to enjoy his transcendental bliss, he requires the cooperation of his devotees. In Vrindavan, for example, although Lord Krishna is full in himself, he wants the cooperation of his devotees, like the cowherd boys and the gopis, to increase his transcendental bliss. Such pure devotees who can increase the pleasure potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are certainly most dear to him. Not only does the Supreme Personality of Godhead enjoy the company of his devotees, but because he is unlimited, he wants to increase his devotees unlimitedly. Thus, he descends to the material world to induce the non-devotees and rebellious living entities to return home, back to Godhead. He requests them to surrender unto him because, unlimited as he is, he wants to increase his devotees unlimitedly. The Krishna consciousness movement is an attempt to increase the number of pure devotees of the Supreme Lord more and more. It is certain that a devotee who helps in this endeavor to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead becomes, indirectly, a controller of the Supreme Lord. Although the Supreme Lord is full in six opulences, he does not feel transcendental bliss without his devotees. An example that may be cited in this regard is that if a very rich man does not have sons in a family, he does not feel happiness. Indeed, sometimes a rich man adopts a son to complete his happiness. The science of transcendental bliss is known to the pure devotee. Therefore, the pure devotee is always engaged in increasing the transcendental happiness of the Lord. Om Agyanatimirandasya Gyananjanashalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. I was born in the darkest ignorance, and my spiritual master is kindly opening my eyes with the torch of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. Yes, the torch of knowledge. Who would have, as they say in America, who'd have thunk? Who would have thought? Who'd have thunk? Who would have thought that that God would have ever spoken such words, that I'm controlled by my devotees? Let's look at that translation again. Oh, best of the Brahmanas, you see, first of all, he's addressing Durvasa Muni, who has greatly offended his pure devotee, Maharaj Ambarish. Oh, breast of the Brahmanas. This is Krishna, and this is what we have to become like too. We have to help each other become better than we are. We tend to rise or sink to others' expectations. Have you noticed that? When people treat you with respect, you tend to act respectable. And when people, you know, don't treat you well, you tend to brings out the worst. So, oh, best of the Brahmanas. What are the qualities of Brahmanas from the Gita? All you Gita lovers, 1842. Hit it. Gyana vigyana mastikyam brahma karma svabhavajam. So this is the Lord's reminding Durvasa Muni of what he should be acting like. Shamo, peacefulness. Dhamma, self-control. Austerity, purity, tolerance, wisdom, knowledge, honesty, and religiousness. These are the qualities by which the brahmanas work. Remember, Durvasa? Remember? How'd you just supposed to be like? So, best of the brahmanas. And then Krista says, without saintly persons for whom I am the only destination, I do not desire to enjoy my transcendental bliss. Arjuna said a similar thing. You see, Krishna is the source of all of us, so our tendencies, whatever tendencies we have, they come from Krishna, but now they're in a kind of corrupted, vitiated, perverse form. But the idea of you can only be happy with others, it comes from Krishna. The truth is relational. Even the source of all, Krishna, doesn't exist in isolation. We say in English, no man is an island. No soul is an island. God's not an island. Eko bahu syam. The one source of all becomes many, although that's inconceivable because we're all co-eternal, right? How can we? There's never a time when we didn't exist, but still. Eko bahu syam. The one becomes many to increase the transcendental bliss. Just like Prabhupada gave the example. Even if somebody's got it all, right? Got all the money in the world and got all the profit, adoration, distinction. Still, he might not have a son or a daughter or, you know, progeny. So he adopts somebody just to share it. That was Arjuna. It's one of Arjuna's arguments in this first chapter of the Gita. King no rajena govinda, king bhogar jivitenava. O Govinda, of what avail to us are kingdoms, opulence, happiness, or even life itself, when all those for whom we may desire them are now arrayed in this battlefield? What good is this, Krishna, if all our friends and family are going to be dead? We can't. How are we going to be happy? That was Arjuna's calculation. How are we going to be happy? Very nice arguments in the first chapter of the Gita. The only problem is the fundamental core calculation was off. And this is because this is what we do. We start with our false selves. We don't. Our real selves are that we're part and parcel of Krishna. We all know the Tad Vidhi verse, just try to learn the truth. But very often we forget the follow-up verse. And when you have thus learned the truth, you will know that all living beings... Prabhu, don't chant japa during class. You won't be able to do either nicely. Multitasking is a myth. Only Krishna can multitask. Parasya shaktir vividhai vashuyate. As soon as we try to do more than one thing, the quality goes south. Thank you for taking my scolding in a good spirit. Happens all the time during the seminar too. You know, people looking at the screen, they're going, what is that? You can't be there nicely, you know? Okay. Don't mind your uncle. Yeah. And then finally, you know Arjuna's last argument for not wanting to fight? It spilled over into the second chapter. Do you remember that? This is sinful. We won't enjoy. The varnashram's going to go to hell. The women are going to be polluted. What was the final argument? Do you remember? It spilled over into the second chapter. Even after Arjuna sat down, that very Gandiva bow, that Arjuna made a vow, that whoever told me to put down my bow, I will kill him. He put it down. So it's like he's killing himself, you know. So what did he say in 2:6?
2:6.
Just before he said, I am confused. Please instruct me. What was it? It was a very existential statement, as we say, in the postmodern age. You're going to look it up on your electronic devices. Krishna gave us an electronic device. It's called a brain. Use it. We've given ourselves over to eyeglasses, you know, earphones, you know. You don't need all this stuff, really. Okay, what does he say? You got it? I beat you. The brain's faster than these things. This is very existential. Listen to this. Nor do we know which is better, conquering them or being conquered by them. Damned if I do, damned if I don't. The sons of Dhritarashtra, whom if we killed, we should not care to live. Come on, they're friends and family, Krishna. What are you telling me? Are now standing before us on this battlefield. That's the existential dilemma. Damned if I do, damned if I don't. Life is absurd. So the existentialist in the 20th century said, so it doesn't matter what you do, life is absurd. Just do it bravely. And when that was presented to Srila Prabhupada, when they were doing this philosophy book, Dialectical Spiritualism, Prabhupada's quick rejoinder was, yes, just like insects very bravely fly into the fire. Therefore, this is insect philosophy. Prabhupada dismissed, you know, 100 years of rumination, existential ruminations with, this is insect philosophy. Okay, so Krishna, yeah, no man's an island because Krishna exists only in relationship to his energies. The absolute truth means Shaktir Shaktibayor Abhidha. There's the energetic and the energy. That's the complete package, the complete absolute truth. So Prabhupada, in the purport, he starts unpacking the verse. He starts, and these purports are not speculations. A purport means Prabhupada holds up his transcendental magnifying glass to the verse, and he draws out what we couldn't ordinarily see. You've come to the right place. Thank you. All right, so the Supreme Personality of Godhead is self-sufficient, and now the paradox, right? But, to enjoy his transcendental bliss, he requires the cooperation of his devotees. I teach a whole lesson in this seminar on cooperation, and it's the hardest thing to do, because this is the age of what? Quarrel, hypocrisy, pretense, bluff, cheating. We're very good at pretending, bluffing, cheating, you know. My way or the highway, you know, divide and conquer. So the whole lesson is a journey toward cooperation, and boy, every time I teach it, does it ever challenge me. Because we're so proud of our penny in Kali Yuga. You know, we're proud anyway. We think we have a better idea than serving Krishna, that's why we're here. And then in Kali Yuga, even if we do one thing right, even if I succeed in not overeating at one meal, I'm a yogi. Pauper is proud of his penny. So Krishna means Krishna and his devotees. Prabhupada always told us that. You know, at least he's there with his flute. You know, and there's the cow and there's the gopis and the gopas. And it's sweet. The absolute truth is relational. No man's an island. But why do we withdraw? Why do we just want, as Prabhupada spit out the word, peace? In the connection with impersonalism. Mayavad want peace. Because it's the world of cheaters and the cheated. So we're cheating and then we get cheated and we just want to withdraw, right? And just negate it all. And that's what Mayavad is. It's just negating the mundane. But, as Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, Simple negation of the mundane does not in itself, in and of itself, establish a transcendental truth. You don't arrive at the truth simply by negating the relative. You can't do that. But that's the best we can do with this guy, with our little pea brain. Just like Prabhupada gave an example of the difference between mental speculation and philosophical speculation. Do you know the difference, Prabhupada? Raise your hand. Yes. Okay, yeah, that's good. I never quite heard it put like that, but that's good, yeah. Mental speculation means we start with our little Dr. Frog brain. And the example Prabhupada gave was the taste of water. If you taste water, this is in a letter, if you taste water and then you speculate, you just start to imagine, what is that? You know? And on our own, we always come up with something either impersonal or void, something reductionist. We try to reduce it to atoms and molecules or nothing, you know. Philosophical speculation is a whole different ballgame. Philosophical speculation means we start with Krishna's words, like Prabhuji said. Rasa aham apsu rasoham apsu kuntiya. I am the taste of water. So then when we taste the water, especially if we're lucky enough to get water as it is, ahimsa water. Ahimsa water, unmanhandled, uncontaminated, you know, rain water, right? Not city water or whatever. Then when we taste that, as Krishna actually drops it, air drops it, then what is it? Sweet, it's really quenching, and we can really appreciate it, how Krishna is the taste of water. And that's very satisfying to meditate on how Krishna is, like you said, how. Yeah, that's good. So, now I forgot what did I say before that? How, I forget. Philosophical, I forget that. I always do that. I get lost in my examples. Okay, don't ever get old. Forget everything. In Vrindavan, for example, except now Prabhupada brings it home with an example. Example is better than precept. In Vrindavan, for example, although Lord Krishna is full in himself, he wants the cooperation of his devotees, like the cowherd boys and the gopis, to increase his transcendental bliss. So at the end of the cooperation lesson in the seminar that I teach, and this lesson is called, To Love is to Cooperate. And I give Prabhupada the last word. I have his audio clip of this. It's beautiful. Prabhupada is saying, so, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he feels, and he, Prabhupada says, he's God. He's the Supreme Personality of God. Still, he's feeling incapable of doing what he wants to do. And that means he wants to flood the world with love of God. And if you remember in the CC, he says, I am the tree of love of God, and I'm also the chief gardener, and I've got all these fruits. I can't do it. I need your help. Can you help me distribute these fruits? So Prabhupada says, so none of us should think, I can do. I don't need anybody. I can do. Even Krishna is saying, I can't. I need your help here. Of course, that's to exchange rasa. But that's who we are. We're sentient beings. We crave relationship because that's coming from Krishna. So, yeah. So then what does Prabhupada say? I forget, let's see. So it's only, yes. And then he gives himself as an example. Just like, you are distributing Krishna consciousness all over the world, and I'm getting the credit. I'm your spiritual master. But what can I do? I'm just one old man. It's only by your cooperation that I can do anything. So then Prabhupada quotes, so therefore, united we stand. United we stand. And what's the converse? Divided we fall. Yeah. And that's that's the oldest trick in the book. She divides us and conquers us. And the whole lesson is all about finding unity amidst our mind-boggling diversity, right? And how we always fight over principles and details and what's absolute and what's relative and what's following and what's imitating. And we're always, that's our whole thing here, you know, in ISKCON. Yeah, but Prabhupada's saying, we have to find unity amid diversity. And the key to that is just making our founder Acharya, our core relationship, our core identity with Srila Prabhupada, making his desires the center, so we give up our dramas and our traumas and our he says and our she says, and we just enter into Krishna's drama and forget this soap opera here. You know, it's not worth it. All right. I'll get off my soap opera box and let Prabhupada keep. Such pure devotees who can increase the pleasure potency. Who's the personification of the pleasure potency? Yeah, Srimati Radharani. I love it in Nectar Devotion when Prabhupada quotes Satatam Kirtayanto Mang, 9:13. Right? Those great souls are under the protection of the divine nature, who are always chanting my glories, right? And then Prabhupada identifies that divine nature as Srimati Radharani. So, listen to this. Such pure devotees who can increase the pleasure potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are certainly most dear to him. Not only does the Supreme Personality of Godhead enjoy the company of his devotees, but because he is unlimited, he wants to increase his devotees unlimitedly. And now we have a paradox, another paradox. This is how divinity communicates in paradoxes. Just like Isopanishad. Tadejati, the Supreme Lord walks. Tanayajati, but he does not walk. Tadure, he's far away. Tanvantike, he's very near as well, closer than our heartbeat. Tadantarasya sarvasya tadu sarvasyasya bahyataham. He's within everything. Okay. Got it. I'm a pantheist anyway. And again, he is outside of everything. Huh? You can't compute Krishna. Krishna's Jiva Goswami Prabhupada says, if you want to understand the Absolute Truth, first of all, we have to understand the Absolute Truth has inconceivable potency. Therefore, even when Jashoda Mai looked in Krishna's mouth, have you been eating dirt? Balaram said you did. No, he's lying. He was mad. He made it up. Open up. And what did she see? She saw the whole cosmos. And then she saw herself inside Krishna's mouth. But she was outside. She was holding him on her lap. Huh? And what happened to her Vatsalya Bhav? It got eclipsed momentarily by this wonder, this adbhuta. And Krishna didn't like that. So he covered her over again, and then Prabhupada says, Jashoda said, all right, close your mouth, don't eat dirt again. there's something very interesting here. Thus he, capital H, Krishna, descends to the material world to induce the non-devotees and rebellious living entities to return home back to Godhead. He then requests them to surrender unto him because unlimited as he is, he wants to increase his devotees unlimitedly. And so that's Prabhupada presenting what Krishna wants. And then Prabhupada turns it and he brings it home to what we're doing. And it's very interesting because if we just wake up to what we're doing, it's super enlivening. Listen to this. The Krishna consciousness movement is an attempt to increase the number of pure devotees of the Supreme Lord more and more. So here's the irony. Here's the paradox. If you go to a place like Radhakund, anybody been to Radhakund? Anybody ever go at midnight on the appearance of Radhakund? Isn't it wild? Only in a place like only in Vrindavan would thousands of people be sitting around a pond at midnight you know, waiting for the magic stroke of midnight to take off their clothes and wade into the pond. Very respectfully. I mean, in the West, I did it once. So as I was sitting, you know, on the steps, and Ayodhya Pati Prabhu, who's now, you know him as Bibi Govinda Maharaj, he was leading the sweet kirtan. This is 1987. And there's all these lights are around, you know, the lights are there, and I know thousands of people. The only reference point I had was some sports event, you know, some match. And everybody's like, they're fired up, you know. But in India, everybody's going in to honor Srimati Radharani. So, now the Babaji's who live at Radhakund, most of them, they're not interested in preaching because they just think it's higher, it's more esoteric, it's more confidential just to be at Radhakund and chant, you know, 64 rounds a day or 3 lakh or whatever. But the irony is that the most confidential service to Sri Sri Radha and Krishna is to try to increase the number of is to preach. Krishna says that right in the Gita. Jai. Sri Sri Radha Gokul Ananda Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Sri Sri Gonitai. Okay, Gita lovers again. What does Krishna say in the last chapter of the Gita, almost at the very end of the Gita, about who's dear to him? You know this verse? There's 2 verses. For one who explains the supreme secret to the devotees, and from Krishna's point of view, everybody is devotee, just forgotten, got a little amnesia here. For one who explains the supreme secret to the devotees, devotional service is guaranteed, and at the end he will come back to me. And then what's the kicker, the punchline? There's no servant in this world anyat priyataro more dear to me, nor will there ever be one more dear. When we participate in this giving movement, in this outreach movement, just like you do here so amazingly I was just at Soho and here at Bhakti, there's always people are always coming and you're always giving them Krishna, and you go out and they come, and this is how to become a very confidential associate of Srimati Radharani. Because what's Radharani's mood? Is she? Yeah. This is a double entendre. This is a double meaning. What's the double meaning of this? Everything's all right. You've come to the right place. No worries, mate. But be careful. This is my Krishna you're dealing with here. This is my Gokulananda you're dealing with. Be careful. And what is Radharani's mood when we try to become... What's Radharani so generous? What does she say? Krishna, here's a devotee who's better than me. Please, you accept him. She's so liberal. She's so generous. You know, she's best of the devotees. That's how Prabhupada introduced Radharani to us. Swamiji, who's that girl with Krishna? Oh, that's Radharani. Who's Radharani? Oh, she's the best devotee. Very simple, very sublime definition. Radharani is the best devotee. But Radharani's mood is, she wants to increase Gokulananda's pleasure unlimitedly. So when we're bringing people back home, you know, when we're helping them come closer to Gokula's lotus feet, Gokulananda's lotus feet, she's so pleased. And that's how we become confidential. It's not like the Babaji say, that you just go there and you just, you know, you do your bhajan, and that's the irony of, you know, all this stuff, all the sahaja stuff. That's not how you become dear to Krishna. According to Krishna, we just have to listen to him, you know. When all else fails, read the manual. Jai. He does not feel transcendental bliss without his devotees. And then Prabhupada gives the example of the rich man. Yeah. Everybody wants love, and everybody wants love. Including, why? Because it comes from Krishna. Once there was a philosophy professor in Mexico. This is, you can hear this on the recording. February 1975, philosophy professor. And she thinks she has Prabhupada stumped. She says, Swamiji, why is there anything? You know, these big, why is there anything? It's a typical Gani, you know, word juggler question. Why is there anything? So Prabhupada beautifully, he just turns it. He says, everything is already there. Better you ask, where does everything come from? Janma yasyataho. Right? So everything that's in us, we're little samples of Krishna, but now it's a little perverse, right? Prabhupada calls it perverted reflection. But all that desire for love, it comes from Krishna. But we don't know how, to have fun, to enjoy. But Prabhupada gives the hint. Krishna requires the cooperation of his devotees to enjoy. He doesn't, it's like, if you ever go to a prison, you ever preach in a prison? You ever go to a correctional institution? What do they call them here in England? Same thing? You know, if you go to a prison, the prisoners talk about two kinds of time. Good time and hard time. Good time means you're making good use of your time to improve yourself. So that when you get out, you won't be back in. But most people do hard time. Hard time means they won't take responsibility for what they've done, and they blame everybody else except them. They don't look within, because that's Raja Tamaguna. So, if you go to a prison, do you know what the greatest suffering is in prison? What are the prisoners, even the hardened criminals, you know, the most cynical, negative people, what do they fear the most in prison? Do you know? Yes, solitary confinement. They know that there's a line there, and if they're too misbehaved, they'll be put in the hole, in the black hole. Solitary. Because it drives you crazy. There's nobody even, you know, there's nobody to fight with. There's nobody to exchange with, even if you just want to fight. You know? So we all crave love and understanding and intimacy. That comes from Krishna. But we just don't know how to do it. We short-circuit it. We're not in yoga. We're here, we're in V-yoga. We're disconnected. So we try to just, you know, even all the rasas are just about sense gratification, really, whether it's, you know, passive or servant or friend. It's grossly or subtly just selfishness. So that short-circuits the exchange. Love is not selfish, it's selfless. It's a selfless exchange. Yeah. Okay. So I guess I'm just kind of rambling here. I'm just going to... Indeed, sometimes a rich man adopts a son to complete his happiness. The science of transcendental bliss is known to the pure devotee. So the pure devotee knows that Srimati Radharani loves us to help her increase the number of devotees, to increase Gokulananda's bliss. So he likes to cooperate with Radharani and not aparadha, not deviate. That's what aparad means, to go away from Radha. Or as Prabhupada puts it in the introduction to the Gita, by cooperation we enjoy. Bhakti means to cooperate with the Supreme Lord, Prabhupada, let's say. Therefore, the pure devotee is always engaged in increasing the transcendental happiness of the Lord. This is so counterintuitive to the false ego. How, what about me? How can I be happy by pleasing somebody else? But that's the very point. We are simply part and parcel of Krishna. We're a part, we're not the whole. And we got to get it. And we do. In the Association of Devotees. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Please ask questions, comments, corrections.